If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.
The Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix Lafay, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Smack, so
yeah, we were trying to get our persona back on, right? You know, like the I'm here.
Those of you who listen regularly know that we often refer to the pagan book of prayer. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
For the different holidays, and so we were hoping to do that, and it has left us without a prayer for summer solstice.
Really?
So
it is sad. It is sad. It had, you know, things like 4th of July.
That's dumb.
I know.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend the person who wrote the pagan.
Or the fact that it's, you know, a patriotic point of reference for the, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway. But, so being as that is, it did not fulfill what we were hoping it would fulfill for us. So we will just have to do it on our own, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do it on the fly.
Do it on the fly. Watch that fly.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously our question, which is strange as it is what has our week been like?
Yeah. Yeah, checking in.
So, Phoenix, how was your, you know, week?
Well, as you already know, because we saw each other yesterday.
I know we did.
I am preparing to go to witch camp, which starts... I'm on the California Witch Camp teaching team this year. So starting Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I will be in a sequestered planning with the other facilitators. And then on Sunday, we leave for California Witch Camp. So I am in the hurry up and get all of the possible things done and my checklists checked, and then making more lists because that's what I do, and checking in with my house sitter and checking in at work and checking in with all the things that need to be checked in on. But I got many things accomplished today.
There you go.
I was able to pick up a prescription and talk to my ex-husband house sits for us with my daughter, and so it's someone I know and trust, and it takes care of my dogs, and it's all wonderful.
Right.
I checked in with him today. So I'm just feeling like some of the big, and Gwian, my partner, and I put up the tents and checked all of our stuff to make sure everything's working.
Right.
Wrote a list of the batteries we need to buy, you know, all the things. So I feel so much less concerned and worried and stressed about the amount of stuff than I did this morning when I woke up.
Well, good.
We got a lot done today.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. And tomorrow I get to clean my house.
Wah. You know, I find that cleaning my house before I leave has been a ritual I have done forever.
Yeah.
And so I do understand, since I will be leaving in 2 weeks.
Right.
And so I do the same thing. I'm starting, you know, to do the linens and,
yep.
and do the house cleaning. And so I'm right there with you, see, since both of us are going to be doing things away
right.
separately, but at the same time frame.
And, you know, in perfect synchronicity, it is hot as Hades out there.
Yes.
We're talking about summer solstice. So that's nice, but it's not nice to have to be doing manual labor
mm-hmm.
when it's hot out.
No, no.
So I'm not looking forward to that. But
not at all. I know. I totally understand that.
How are you feeling, Miss Elvira?
Oh, hey, you know, my day was full of fun and games. Took my dogs to the vet because I wanted to check their ears out. And for a solid hour, either in the waiting room or when I got totally embarrassed outside and then going into the room and waiting and getting embarrassed and taking them outside again, they screamed and cried and carried on, and they thought they were being just horribly beaten. And it was all because I wanted to check and make sure that their ears were okay, because one of them had a little bit of, you know, was shaking his head, and I'm like, better check him out. And as it turns out, it's just a mini infection. It's not any major ear mites or, you know, major things. So that was great. And so, of course, I figured get the other one done, because you never know with one to the other. And so neither one of them were happy with that. So that was kind of it was a intense experience.
Yeah.
But, worse than taking them to the groomers. When they actually get to the groomers, they love it. It's doggy daycare. They can play with all these dogs, but between there and when I get them there, it's the same hysteria.
No.
And, you know, had a really nice time at lunch with my friend who's, we actually have a live audience.
That's right.
Yes.
We have a live audience
of two.
Two whole members of the pagan community.
Yes, yes.
Here, live, in person.
In person.
Yeah.
And then, you know, kind of did my thing. So the rest of the week is going to be, as you, preparing for when I leave and doing the things that need to be done. Someone I was talking to today actually said, "My gosh, you are so organized with your bills." And this is a fun part, because for me, bills and money and things like that were never my forte as I was, you know, in my younger years.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, you know, super on top of it. Like, I'm going to be gone for the first 2 weeks of this month, so I'm going to need to prepay all of my known bills. And, you know, and she's going, "But why? I mean, you got," and I go, "Because I don't want to think about them."
Yeah. That's,
you know, I need
thing.
To get them out of my way.
Absolutely.
And so she was just like awestruck, saying, "Wow." And I look at it now and I think, for who I have been, that was a big accomplishment.
Well, well done.
Thank you.
Oh, how good adulting.
Yes, it was an adulting. Not the other. Adulting.
Adulting. Being responsible.
Being responsible. So, on that note, we are at Happy summer solstice. I guess. If we're getting too thinking alike, this is getting kind of scary.
It's hot out, and I don't like it.
No. I'm trying to get used to it. I mean, I'm going to the south.
Right.
Okay, and actually, I just saw a news bulletin on Facebook of one of the people that I know there saying that whatever storm they had, because remember, for all of the heat and humidity, they get rain, lightning, and thunder.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, and tornadoes. But somehow, whatever the wind velocity was, which is not a tornado warning, but they lost roofing tiles.
Wow.
And I'm like going, okay, I'm going there in 2 weeks. This is going to be interesting.
It'll be fun.
It'll be fun.
You don't have a sister, right? You don't need to worry about a house falling on your sister.
No.
You're there.
No.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm fine.
Don't worry.
I'm fine. So, but that's pretty much, you know, but I have, you know, I don't like the fact that my air conditioning in my car is fritzy and it's hot out. And
oh, it always happens. Like the day you need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was thinking I'd just get myself a spritzer and start spraying myself as I'm driving along.
Have some a pool boy follow you around.
Oh, there you go. Cute. A cute pool boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So with that, summer solstice. we're talking fun and games, not like, you know, Beltane, but
it is hard to not think of the heat around summer solstice, because it is the pinnacle of summer. It's the pinnacle of daylight. It's the day that we have the most light, the longest amount, the shortest nighttime. So it's hard not to connect that to the hot, especially, I think, for us in California, because July and August tend to be the hottest months for us.
Yes. So, but, and of course, again, you know, I understand the concepts of bonfires, but, you know, more fire, more heat.
Right.
But,
right, well, that's, you know,
it's a fire.
Most of the modern things we have around summer solstice come to us from the Norse and the Celts. And we're talking about a different climate. You know, my dad lives up in Washington State, and one year we were up there for 4th of July, and we were shooting off fireworks in the rain.
Wow.
You know, it's that's the climate where the most of our traditions come from.
Right.
You know, having a bonfire and staying out because it's light out so much later.
Right.
You know, you can stay up all night because the nighttime is really short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's big party time.
Exactly. And if we think about these ancestors, too, and these specific traditions where winter is long and hard and you are trapped indoors with all of your people, summer solstice is the, you know, the opposite end of that.
Right.
Where you get to celebrate and be outdoors.
Right.
Everything is blossoming and growing and abundant, and it's, you know, it's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So we appreciate that festival and this festival, and, of course, along with, there are two versions, you know, I mean, we've got the version with the, you know, the Holly King, the Oak King tradition. And
this
then,
is a very modern Wicca concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we have the just the fact that this is the Fire Queen. She is the, this is the Fire Festival.
Say more about the Oak King and Holly King, because I'm sure there are folks who don't have any idea what that means.
We'll go with that.
Yeah.
Oh, you need me to say that.
Oh, I mean, I
don't know. You were just, we see, this is where our normal patter kind of goes off into the, so what you have here is you have the Oak King in his glory, and his glory has come to fruition with the goddess.
Yes.
And Beltane have made merry, and obviously they have, you know, impregnated, she has been impregnated to, again, go forward and bring forth another version later. And now he's basically hanging out, ruling the land. But this is a time where, though he takes care of his peoples and it's a part of that, he is going to be embattled with the Holly King. Because the Holly King, of course, you know, as you would say, the child becomes the adult and then claims version of ownership and rulership.
Right.
So they battle. But the point here is that the longest day and the shortest night is the turning point for when the Oak King will pass.
Right.
He is going to his death now.
Some traditions, it's really interesting to me, and I've often found myself confused about this concept. In some traditions, the goddess sort of waxes and wanes, and this is very, this is a Wicca thing, and it's very archetypical, right? We're talking about archetypes here, big, the goddess, not a specific goddess, right? And the Oak King and the Holly King are archetypes.
Right.
So the goddess sort of waxes and wanes like the moon throughout the year.
Right.
And her energy is heightened at some points and lower at some points. And her and the god, her consort, do this dance throughout the year.
Right.
But her the consort, the god, the archetype of the god, is a duality as well.
Right.
She's the Oak King and the Holly King and the light and the dark and midsummer and midwinter or summer solstice and winter solstice, right? And so there's this interesting pattern she's going through where at summer solstice she's coming into this ripeness of pregnancy. And there's this cycle that he's going through where now he has to fight his brother. And then his brother takes the reins of control of the whatevers. And it's interesting because sometimes I can look at it and it makes sense and it meshes and I'm like, oh, yeah, I get it. And other times I look at it and I think, what? I don't get it. But it's this... It's to explain the cycles and the wheel of the year and how these archetypes can help guide us through the changing and transition.
Exactly.
I've never really personally done a lot of work with the Oak King and Holly King because I don't tend to work with archetypes. But I find it really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm always fascinated with archetypes, but I guess that comes from when I chose to think of myself as going into psychology and,
yeah.
you know, then finding Jungian much more interesting than, you know, the other ones that were out there. But, and then Carolyn Meese
mm-hmm.
was a really big boon to other types of archetypes,
mm.
doing it in a bigger version than the way Jung did it, but
yeah.
on the same basis, on the same
And
principle.
Carolyn Meese, she is an intuitive healer, right? So
yeah.
she'll, like, read you and say,
she,
this is
she
what you
started
need.
As a medical intuitive.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she started with basically the sacred energy patterns of the chakras and the different potential areas of problems, health, and otherwise,
yeah.
and then...
And she is a prolific writer.
Oh, she is.
She's got a million books.
Yeah. yeah, and she's gone through some really interesting things. She had a health issue of her own,
yeah.
which shifted a lot of what she did at one point. You know, she's done some really phenomenal work
mm-hmm.
in terms of, my opinion, of taking things into a different level, but with the spirituality
yeah.
and the things. But
mm.
she talks about archetypes a lot, and... to me, that off subject of summer solstice, but
yeah.
within the concept of the Oak King, the Holly King, the goddess,
yeah.
you know, the sun, the mother, that kind of a process.
Right.
I think we've got, we're taking our talk a little differently because it is a festival and
yeah.
it has its meaning. But I also think that it has another, with the overlap of more modern version with a more ancient version,
right.
just the seasons. And how do you describe when we go from short night, long day,
right.
to, you know, long night, short day.
Right.
You know, how do you describe what it does it mean and, you know, what is the belief system that we put to it?
And these archetypes are born from an actual thing that's happening to our planet.
Right.
You know, the alignment of the sun, like Stonehenge, mm-hmm. the whole thing was
mm-hmm.
built so that at the solstices, the sun shines through at specific
mm-hmm.
pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Right, there's something happening to our planet at this moment.
Right.
And it can be anywhere between July 19th to the 25th, I think,
mm-hmm.
specific astrologically speaking.
Right, right.
But pagans tend to go, oh, it's the 21st of July, hooray.
Yeah.
but, you know, this is a thing that happened, and the ancient peoples noticed it
mm-hmm.
and created these celebrations, and then modern Wicca kind of extrapolated
right.
further and gave
right.
it these archetype energies
right.
to explain the transitions and how we honor them and celebrate them, and the dark half of the year and the light half of the year battling for who gets to reign,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeehaw!
Yeah.
You know, so, and again, we all look at, what does this mean to us? What
yeah.
do we want to do with it?
Right.
And, I mean, other than party and have a good time, which is always a good thing.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, it was kind of interesting because I, you know, they have all these different goddesses they wanted to throw in. And I, you know, my research is like, oh, let's just, you know, see what these all books say.
Any goddess that's connected to fire.
Yeah, throw it all in, you
yeah.
know, anywhere you can find them and, you know, just this one and that one. But I'm going to bring a topic up that I know we love bringing little things like this together. And so it's summer solstice. Midsummer's Eve or Midsummer's Day.
Yep.
Or Lisa.
Or Litha.
Litha, actually.
Whatever. Yep.
Well, and so I'm going to leave you, since this seems to be a Marvy thing for you to do.
Just want to go off on my soapbox.
I love it. I love it. I mean, I can, but I think you do it so much more elegantly.
Well, for those who have listened before, and specifically to our Autumn Equinox / Mabon episode, you've heard me rant about the names of our holidays and the Wheel of the Year and my personal feelings around their names.
Right.
And summer solstice is another one of those holidays that was sort of given a name by modern pagans. Specifically, we've talked about this before, specifically in the 70s, Aidan Kelly and Isaac Bonowitz and a few other dudes were thinking, well, We've got this Wheel of the Year that we've borrowed from the Celts and the Norse folks, and this is nice, and it makes sense, and it's mathematical, and la, la, la. But the names are so non-witchy sounding. Summer solstice, it's just so science-y. we need some cool witchy names for these holidays. And to his credit, Aidan Kelly did some research and involved other pagan leaders of the time and came up with some names like Ostara for Eöster for the spring equinox and Litha for the summer solstice. And some of the names that they came up with make a lot of sense.
Uh-huh.
Or you can give it a little thread of why you may have picked that name.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Mabon's the one that gets me my panties in a wad because I'm like, no, that you made all that shit up. But that's okay. If you can make shit up, it's fine.
Right.
But there is a little thread of potential for Litha being a valid name for summer solstice. And call it whatever the hell you want. Just know why you're calling it that.
Right.
You know, that's
right.
My whole feeling about it. But
right.
Supposedly... an Anglo-Saxon name for the months that we now think of as June and July, because they would have been on a different calendar.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to try to pronounce these in their actual pronunciation, because I can't do things like that. But we're talking about early Litha month and late Litha month.
Uh-huh.
That was generally what June and July were.
Right.
So our elders of witchcraft and Wicca thought, let's call summer solstice Litha. It's much more poetic. It's much more beautiful. It sounds witchy. And there you go. Litha
right.
was born in the 70s from some of the early leaders in witchcraft.
Right.
Yeah.
There we are. Now, interesting is a little side note that we could throw in is that because of the fact that it's been a pagan holiday forever and ever, the church, the Christian church, tried to rebrand it.
Well, yeah, that's what you meant.
Like everything. And into the birthday of John the Baptist.
Right.
And so
Happy
birthday, John. St. John's Day.
Yes.
And yet, unfortunately, it still had all of the things of wild dancing and horseplay and, you know, the rowdiness. They couldn't quite get rid of that.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Which is great. And actually what's really cool is in most European countries, in most of the UK, in lots of parts of the Southern Hemisphere where they're actually celebrating winter solstice, St. John's Day is a big freaking deal. And for folks anywhere where Catholicism is still pretty solid and strong or the Catholic holidays still are acknowledged, even though people may be more secular.
Right.
This day is still really celebrated. So especially in Eastern Europe, like you can find celebrations for St. John's Day that still look like probably, you know, with a little caveat here, probably look like what our ancient pagan ancestors would have been doing. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, in a way, we have a lot of thanks to give to the Catholic Church for having our traditions survive.
In some form.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it definitely. And, again, this is kind of the things is that here we are with summer solstice and you light bonfires and it's a fire holiday, a fire festival, and, you know, it's merrymaking and it's enjoying all the things that this kind of time, as you pointed out, we were becoming less and less able to be out in the nice warm weather, et cetera.
Right.
But, there are other people who have written books and then who have taken things and put it into a context. And, you know, we had mentioned Robert Graves, the White Goddess,
right,
in one of our past episodes. And I think it was on the Baba Yaga.
Which airs next week.
Just realized we've been pre-recording a few because of our time schedule. But it was interesting because he takes this time of midsummer or summer solstice and likens it in terms of the same idea as the Oak King, Holly King, as Samson and Delilah. And my brain was trying really hard there when I was reading this. I could understand what the thread was, you know, the concept. But it was interesting how, you know, he points this out, and I never really thought about it because when I originally read the White Goddess, it was like, oh, wow, this is really great.
Right.
And as
revolutionary.
Yes, it was. And now I'm kind of going, huh?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he even did it around the same idea as John Baptist when he loses his head. And, you know, because he was the oak king and then Jesus was the holly king,
which, according to the church calendar, John the Baptist was supposedly born 6 months before Jesus.
Right.
Now, nothing says officially when either of these folks were born.
Right.
But what an interesting overlay.
Yeah.
Say that one is the oak king and one is the holly king.
Right.
That is fascinating. Thank you for that little tidbit.
Well, you're very welcome, and thank you, Robert Graves, for extrapolating to that point of reference.
Right. I love it, and I've said this before, too. Us modern witches, we really like everything to have connection and to put things together and to say, oh, yeah, that's the same as that, even
right.
though they're not even remotely related. And,
right.
You know, this is one of those examples of where we try really hard.
Yeah, to find the ways that we can connect it.
But, you know, it's sweet. We're humans.
Okay. Yeah, I know. We are. It's just, well, okay. And I guess if you look at it from a bigger perspective, think of the concept that, yes, this is the summer solstice.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the northern hemisphere, it is the summer solstice. So all of the different cultures, traditions, had different stories they told around what was going on at this time. They didn't make necessarily the same identifications, but you can see the threads of the same type of storyline, so to speak. So I do see how you can go from here to there to there. I just find it a little jumpy now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
so... Yeah, one of the things I was reading about St. John's holiday, his celebration of his birth, his big day, was some of the ways folks would celebrate it, and there was bonfires. They would collect all of the stuff that needed to finally be released, or the rubbish, the garbage, and they would burn it.
Right.
Right, which is funny because so many folks have... in more agrarian areas, they have the summer burn where they burn all of the crap that's been kind of accumulating.
Right.
But the smoke was considered part of the ritual.
Mm-hmm.
It was important to pay attention to the smoke. And this is a Catholic way of celebrating it. You can see some of the pagan undertones here, or overtones, whatever. Apparently, the fire was also supposed to drive away dragons.
Oh.
Keep the dragons away.
Okay.
Which, you know, there's all this... sort of evidence that dragons refer to the pagan folk,
right?
Again, this is Celtic. This is UK-based.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about ancient Celtic systems. But it is true that many Celtic priests or druids or what have you would get tattoos of dragons
right.
on their arms. That's a thing.
Right.
So there is this concept that having the midsummer bonfire on St. John's feast was to keep the pagans at bay.
Yeah.
Right? Who knows if that's true or not.
Well,
but it's fun to play. And
yeah, I think it really has a bit of an energy pattern. And says, it's okay.
Yeah. There's also something about bathing at this time. And I think that's a concept I've seen repeated with pretty much every pagan holiday.
Mm-hmm.
A fire and then a ritual bath, or reverse, a ritual bath and then a fire, depending on
right.
which holiday it is. But there's this whole thing... on St. John's Day, actually, but the women at the Rhine would wash away any potential troubles for the year ahead.
Mm-hmm.
They would do a spiritual cleanse in advance.
Oh, well, there you go.
Right?
That's sort of preemptive strike.
Yeah.
Before we called it that. Well, and also you've got the same thing as the fire, masculine energy, water, feminine energy, and for most of us, if we want to extrapolate symbology is that you've got the melding of the two.
Right.
You know.
And for some areas, I don't know that this is necessarily true in many areas, but summer is also, you know, when we go into wintertime, we're looking at potential scarcity around food.
Mm-hmm.
When we come into summertime, we're looking at potential scarcity around water.
Right.
And if you can do some sort of ritual encouraging the water to hang out and make it until the rains come again.
Right.
You know, that's the balance. It's the longest day. We have the most fire in the sky on summer solstice, but we also want to make sure we're not forgetting about the water and the rituals around that.
Right.
And connecting that balance.
Right, right. So, and, you know, this was a time of, well, they talk about June, but summer being the time of weddings.
Yeah.
And unions. And I don't necessarily think that that is real pagan as per se. It became more modern, but it was an idea of that particular heating up and melding together.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think it was much more common if you read supposedly about the ancient ancestors as midwinter commitments were made, kisses under the mistletoe and things
right.
like that. And then midsummer, those relationships were solidified.
Right.
Right. So you see this sort of balance. And at Beltane, there was this whole other sexual piece
right.
that was added into it, which
so you
may
make
or may
more
not.
Babies or not.
Right.
You know, but, and, you know, I found some of the correspondences and some of the things interesting, you know, like, oh, gee, you got, you know, the color purple or indigo or, you know, the flower rose or, you know, whatever, you know, they had those. It's again, we're talking about more modern correspondences, I think, than more ancient ones.
Right. Yeah, and that's fine, you know, like I said, if it works and it fits for you and it works in your tradition, that's great. Just, I feel like it's important for us to understand the origins of the things that we do,
right.
to know the history, to know, you know, okay, so some folks, it's set a wheel on fire and roll it down a hill.
Right.
Okay, why are we rolling a wheel on fire? Why are we doing that? Why?
Where
does that tradition start? You know, in Northern California, on a day like today, if we were having our summer solstice ritual, lighting a wheel on fire and rolling it down a hill would be a terrible idea.
Yes, we'd be setting a lot of things on fire.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Not a good idea.
So even though potentially maybe our pagan ancestors did that, that might not work for where you live. Or if you're in Kansas, you might not have a hill to roll it down.
It's very flat.
You know, so making traditions for your practice, making traditions for your tradition, doing those things that fit for the place in the world where you live.
Right.
The concepts of the Celts and the Norse, which is where most of our modern concepts come from.
Right.
Not all, but most, don't necessarily fit for every climate.
Right.
Or for every place in the world.
Right.
And we talked about this on every holiday, but in the Southern Hemisphere, it's the winter solstice.
Right.
So we also, it's powerful to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
As we are at the pinnacle of heat and sunlight, they are at the pinnacle of cold and darkness.
Right.
And that balance point, we may not be at the balance point in our hemisphere, but our planet is at a balance point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's all of these things going on at the same time.
Right.
There's all of these different ways to unpack this holiday and to celebrate it and work with its energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we should probably take a break.
Yes.
A miss. We need a break.
All right.
So
we'll be back.
We'll be back.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages.
Excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hooter Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sundays 3 to 4:30. Kendallo's Corner with Candelo Candisa, Michael Carell, and Lady A, Mondays 5 to 7. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6. In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7. On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand and Paige the Firyu, Wednesdays 3 to 4:30. Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Dania, Wednesdays 6 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 6 to 7. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All times Pacific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
We are back with the heat of this day.
Yes.
So we were just kind of giving a little mini discussion here of how we want to kind of throw the next half hour here. And I think we'll start with you were talking Roman. So
Roman.
You.
Roman.
The Roman.
This time of the year is connected to Juno.
Yes.
Who is Jupiter's wife. She is the goddess of women and childbirth. She's kind of the lady in the Roman pantheon. And the month of June is named for Juno.
Oh, my goodness. Amazing.
Oh, figure.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons Elvira was talking about weddings and all of that before is because Juno was the goddess that ruled over marriage and the whole institution of marriage. She was the patroness of married women, specifically. It's also connected to Vesta in the Roman tradition, which is Hestia in the Greek tradition,
right,
who is the goddess of the hearth. So there's also something about, and this, again, comes with every freaking holiday, but something about cleaning and
yeah,
clearing out and making specific meals
right.
and celebrating
right.
with through food was very much a Vesta/Hestia thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of some of these traditions come to us through the Romans because of Juno.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Juno.
Good Juno.
Yes.
Well, and again, kind of an offshoot, but because it's really, we've said a lot of things, so just throwing in a little paragraph here. The Striga tradition, of course, midsummer or summer solstice was a Festa della Estate is what it would be looking like, but it's Estate.
Mm.
And the mythos is basically the marriage of the god and the goddess. Duh, yeah. Roman. So it's celebration of life and growth, and it's, you know, we were talking about the spinning wheel, and that was part of what they would, you know, do is the physical level would be the symbolic changing of the seasons. The spiritual would be the symbolic seasons of the soul, because in Stregeria, there is a whole process of the journey of the soul that they go through and work with. So it was very interesting to just sort of find that as a little catchphrase for that. I mean, obviously, somebody like Raven Grimassi, who has written extensively on Stregeria, would be someone we would point people to for that.
Yeah,
but
nice.
That was a little sidebar for the Romans.
Yes.
So, yes. And
there's some things around herbs with the summer solstice, because things are more in bloom or more readily available or what have you, and so there are some superstitions, I suppose, or folk traditions.
Mm-hmm.
There, the summer solstice is the best time to gather certain herbs like St. John's wort, fennel, rosemary, foxglove, although it's poisonous, so I don't know why you'd want to gather that, elderflowers, and fern.
Ooh.
These are all plants and roses that were considered auspicious to gather at summer solstice, specifically the dawn, at the
right.
early point in the day.
Right.
And that's also something you find repeated on many of the pagan holidays is doing something at the dawn, collecting things at dawn, collecting dew, plants, what have you, is considered good luck.
Right.
Right? And just like the other holidays, the veil is thinner during this time,
right.
Leaving offerings for spirits of the land or the folk and deities and entities that you can work with.
Mm-hmm.
It's always good
to
do such things at holidays.
And holidays.
Where they're paying attention closer than every other day.
Yes, they're out there really checking you out.
Yeah.
Doing, what is it, the list of naughty and nice?
That's right, yeah. Yeah. Who? Oh, it would be St. John. Santa John will be coming to your house. And he'll be making sure, instead of Santa Claus, that you have been nice since Christmas. And he will be delivering, I don't know, St. John's wort or something.
There you go.
And setting shit on fire in your backyard.
Setting shit on fire. Just created a new version of our holiday. I'm impressed. Just right
Santa
here.
John. Instead of ho, 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 he says ha, ha, ha. Oh, my gosh. And just like that.
And just like that, we have now brought it forth.
Something was born.
Yeah.
Writing it down.
There you go.
It's always a ritual to Santa John.
Santa John.
Instead of a Yule tree, you'd have a Alyssa bush.
Yes. I'm not going to go there. I will leave that bush alone.
A burning bush.
Oh, there you are. A burning bush.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, okay.
Stop me.
All right. Well, and we were talking about correspondences.
Yes. Yes.
Which, of course, when you start talking about the herbs that are best gathered,
yeah.
You kind of walk into the concept of what this would be a good time for. And obviously, on an emotional level, it's bonding and loyalty.
Mm.
All right. And healing, it would be, you know, again, things of strength, cleansing, prevention, protection.
Right.
It's all preparation, I think, for getting ready for when the season turns to winter.
Yeah. It's funny because I hate when we set our clocks back and it gets dark early.
Mm-hmm.
It bums me out. I never get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we finally get back to March and I feel like, okay, now we're back on what it should be, even
right.
though I know that's not true, but yay.
Yeah.
So midsummer is actually kind of a bummer for me. There's a little part of me inside that's like, oh, no, we're losing daylight now every day. Even though it's we're supposed to be celebrating.
Right.
There's a part of me that's sad because I know that the longer evenings are coming and I don't like that part.
Right, right. And that makes it that's difficult.
Yeah.
And I know that for me, I look at it and go, okay, because the other day it was so funny because, you know, you come in, you do your thing, and you start your, you know, you're used to, like, I'll walk the dogs, I'll do this, I'll have my dinner or whatever. And I suddenly looked up, and it was 9 o'clock, and we had light.
Yeah, I love that.
And it was just like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very exciting.
Yeah.
And yet, as we say, very sad, because as it starts to shift, it's going to be less. But
well,
the thing, as I say, though, for me, the hardest time is setting those clocks back.
Yeah.
Because the body has not, it's gotten accustomed to one thing, and it's really hard and just terrible.
The worst.
So one of the creature for this particular time frame is the wren.
Hmm.
A little bird,
hmm.
Which is interesting.
The wren in Welsh tradition is the king of the birds.
There you go.
He outsmarted all the other birds.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true.
Very smart, the wren.
So, smart season.
Yeah. Yeah.
And obviously the big one, the flower, is the rose.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting enough is we have mentioned it different times. The rose has many versions.
Yeah.
Not just this pretty, lovely flower.
Right.
You know, so there's the protection aspect, there is the love aspect.
There's healing with rose hips.
Yeah. So, it works.
And what I'm noticing as well, especially the more research I did around this holiday, is a lot of the ways that modern pagans look at Beltane and midsummer, there's a lot of crossover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of the dancing, of putting flowers in your hair,
right.
creating flower wreaths, all of these things, because everything is in bloom and blossom,
right.
and it's at the height of all
right.
of that.
Right.
So it makes sense. But a lot of the things that you might consider a Beltane tradition could also be used at summer solstice.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it kind of perplexed me that one would have for a gemstone, moonstone, pearl. I kind of went, oh, okay, fine, if that's one of the, that's, again, one of the particulars for this time. But,
right.
I mean, it's, I would think citrine, because,
sure.
you know,
sun
fiery,
related.
Sun,
yeah.
Carnelian, because it's orangey, and
right.
you know, that kind of, but maybe that was just where I was looking. And obviously the particular one of the oak and the mistletoe is for trees,
mm-hmm.
you know, that particular one that harkens there. So, and what they said is, now, it was interesting, appropriate spells.
Yep, appropriate spells.
Appropriate spells.
Nice.
I like that one. It was, you know, and this was fascinating because it wasn't just, a celebration of woman's power and loyalty to oneself and, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing, and blessings on upcoming endeavors and stuff like that. But now this is, get it, hexes against murderers and rapists.
Well, there you go.
Yep. So I guess in a way, it's kind of the opposite of a woman's power, is the disempowerment
mm.
of the goddess.
Mm.
So I don't know. That
well, there you go. If you have any spells you want to give to those goddesses of retribution, summer solstice is a good one.
Is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then obviously love spells and protection and money. And
these are, everyone, appropriate.
These are the appropriate
spells.
That's how it's called.
I think that I can't even. I want to laugh so bad.
Well, there you are. I mean, it's like we. And when did we ever really? I mean, a lot of us go with the moon cycle.
Sure.
And sometimes the day of the week or when it seems the most propitious. I don't wait for a certain holiday to do something.
No.
I mean, it may be something you want to do on that for a specific focus. Yes, and that's come up for you, but I don't think waiting for the summer solstice to do something specific is all that appropriate. Again, appropriate.
Appropriate. Make sure you jot that down.
And the thing that I found interesting was one of the discussions was the three rays of the sun coming down. Of course, they talked about Stonehenge, but it was interesting that they were talking about the concept of the way the sun hits with those specific concepts of three rays.
Yes. Yes, it's a very Celtic concept, and it's the three rays of Awen, right? The divine inspiration, the ineffable thing, the poetry that we get struck by, and it spills forth the three rays of the Awen, and that's the three rays of the sun. And then the symbol for Awen also has three dots above it, and that's the feminine qualities of Awen. It's a whole thing. If you go look up the symbol for Awen, A-W-E-N, you'll find the symbol, and there is so much you can dig into that symbol. Mm-hmm. The spaces in between the three rays have significance.
Wow.
It's a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing. I think I've mentioned the OBOD, the Order of Bards, Ovates, and Druids.
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
You got it.
I got the abbreviation easily, but remembering what the abbreviation stands for takes a second.
Yeah.
But they have an extensive website and a chat room, and it's an excellent resource if you are interested in learning more about Druidry specifically, but also Celtic paganism. There's a ton of information.
Right.
So definitely check them out if that is something
up your alley.
Something interesting for you. Yeah.
So, and then what else do we have here?
Well, some of the modern things that folks do to celebrate is going outdoors, having barbecues, having picnics. And, that seems sort of too easy, but it doesn't need to be difficult. You don't have to wait for the darkness. You don't have to necessarily stay up all night and cry and gnash your teeth when the sun finally goes over the horizon.
Yeah.
But it's a time of celebration. It's enjoying the heat. It's enjoying the crops being where they are. It's having some enjoyment of all of the suffering and struggle that you may have had to go through in the darker half of the year. Enjoying being able to be outdoors and be in it.
Right.
And that's one of the things as pagans, go out, be in it, go and celebrate.
And, again, I think we'll go to metaphorically.
Yeah.
It's also what have you done for the first, from winter solstice to here in your own personal development and where you've lightened the load and where you have, gone through the things that have come forth out of that to be able to see the new parts of yourself grow and take form and grow and have strength. And, not necessarily in preparation for harvest, like, that's the next step, but just to be really joyous about where you are.
And it's also a really good time in that bonfire, releasing things, getting rid of the refuge, the garbage, the junk that's collected. This is a good time to go through your home and purge, get rid of the things that are taking up space that are unnecessary.
Right.
When it's hot out, when it's warm, you don't want to be bundled up and have all these things around you and feel overheated.
Right.
So make space, clear things out.
Right.
And one of the things I like to do, and I typically do this earlier in the year, but summer solstice bonfire is good for it, is to go through and get the bits and bobs of magical spells that I've done and are completed, or something. I did a workshop and we made this little bag, or I have this little thing. All of those things with magical tchotchkes that collect through the year and burn them in the summer solstice bonfire.
Right.
Release those things, finished spells start to take up space.
Yes.
You got to clear that stuff out.
Yeah. And it's interesting because there are times when I go through different pieces and different situations in my house and I suddenly start getting, oh, my God, I've got, you know, I found this. I actually did that last night because I was looking for something completely different than our show. Mm-hmm. And I wound up finding, computer parts and things that are so outdated, floppy disks,
right?
Things that I had set into a box and stuck into this little, you know, cabinet, because at the time I still had a computer that used a floppy disk, which then died, obviously, decades or so ago.
Right.
And I just looked at these things and went, what am I going to do with these? So I'm sitting there kind of giving forth to the electronic bin that I'm going to have to recycle, things that I have no need of.
Right.
And it was just, it was really kind of funny that I just went, oh, well, another clean out.
Yeah. I mentioned earlier that my partner and I pulled out the tent, and we're in the garage, and when we're in there, I'm like, wow, we got a lot of stuff in here. Like, I'm feeling the need to purge and get rid of things and clear out, and it's really warm today.
Right.
And there is something about the heat that can also sort of make me feel a little suffocated.
Right.
And when I see all the junk that's accumulated, because that's what we do, stuff accumulates.
Yeah.
It makes me feel more overheated.
Right.
So there's something too about that heat wave clearing out, making space so air can flow through.
Right. Yeah. Right. So,
which makes sense with fire, too, if you think about it that way. When you build a bonfire, you have to have enough space for the air to flow through, for your fire to catch.
Right.
To build it correctly.
All of that. It's a ritual unto itself to set a fire, to build it, and then to process setting it and moving it and feeding it and keeping it going. And I remember way, 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 way back when I was doing a sweat lodge. I was the fire keeper for another group of people, and it was fascinating how being involved with that and keeping it going was the same idea of the fire, the energy. And, you know, from there we kind of go, oh, look what we have. One of the things they talk about is after it's all burned down, they collect the ashes.
Right.
And then they use those to go out and throw onto the fields for, you know, making sure for good harvest and good crops for, you know, the next year and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So bonfires are very ash-orientated.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So.
And, you know, it's a good time in your personal practice to go outdoors, spend time outside, enjoy the summertime energy on one side, and then also have a moment for yourself for personal reflection. And what is it that's really coming through?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that's growing well for you? And looking at the polarity of that as well. What is it that needs to be quiet right now? What is it that needs to be still? What is it that needs to sort of continue in that darkness? That that whether that's to grow or to heal or for whatever.
Right.
There is juice in the polarity of summer solstice. So don't just get so caught up in the sun that you forget that beautiful polarity.
Right.
That energy is present.
Right.
It's a good time for personal reflection around that.
Right. Right. Definitely. Definitely. And we have a few more minutes. And obviously some of the things, one of the things that I found fascinating was they talked about a witch's ladder. Making a witch's ladder and of the different feathers that you would find, you know, nine feathers and the color of what you wanted and nine knots, the three-colored braided, these three colors, red, black, and white, braided with the different feathers braided into the little ladder, so to speak, and then putting it somewhere. And I thought, you know, it was interesting because I was thinking of the feathers I collect and the feathers I've collected and all of the things I just, you know, I sometimes have them in a vase or something, but it was trippy. I was going, oh, maybe I might want to do that.
Yeah, and a witch's ladder is a folk thing, right? So this is, it's definitely got ancient roots.
Right.
It's a folk spell, And it's basically a knotting spell, right? Uh-huh. So you get a cord or a rope or whatever, uh-huh. and you knot however many knots.
Right.
I think traditional is nine.
Nine.
Nine. But then you add feathers and other bits and bobs that are important, and it can be used as a protection amulet,
right?
You would hang this in your home or outside your home.
Right.
Right? So that's a fun little project you could do on the summer solstice,
right.
is because there is a lot of working with protection energy, clearing out, setting up good protection.
Setting up good boundaries. And
yeah.
the sun, you know, it's the sun is in any of the cultures, think of the fiery sword, the fiery energy
yeah.
being a protection energy, not just a destructive energy or a warming energy. It actually does, it's about protection.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's, I don't, if you've ever watched the television show Vikings,
uh-huh.
there are the seer of the village has what look like witches' ladders in his little hut. They're
uh-huh.
they're made with bones, and they're kind of a little bit more dark and scary because,
right.
you know, whatever. But it's definitely a fun project to do.
Uh-huh.
It's been a long time since I've made one, but it is
yeah.
fun. And if you're like me and you collect bits and bobs and feathers and random things when you're out in the world, you probably have plenty of,
oh, yeah,
some witchy junk
yeah.
to put to good use.
Just think of it hanging out on your porch, and
yeah.
your neighbors would definitely want to know what the heck. Here, I would probably get a lot of looks because, you know,
yeah,
there's just too many people that would be going, why does she have feathered hanging things?
Right.
Of course, I have to be careful because in a mobile home park, there's rules and regulations.
Sure.
And
no witches' ladders.
No witches' ladders. Actually, no cords looking like laundry cords or anything
sure.
that would look like that. And, I mean, they even had me take my prayer flags down
oh.
because it looked like, you know,
cord.
The cord. And I'm like.
But you could sit by the bonfire.
Yeah.
Build your ladder, run it through the smoke.
Yeah.
Charge it and get it all juiced up from
right.
the summer solstice energy.
Yeah.
Be a whole. That could be your summer solstice ritual.
There
How
you
fun.
Go.
There you go.
Hey. All right.
On that note,
it is close to our closing
yes.
time.
Yes. So next week, we will be talking about Baba Yaga, Baba
uh-huh.
Yaga, the Eastern European goddess of my heart.
She's got a heck of a heart. Those chicken legs keep running around.
Mm-mm. And then just as a reminder, we have a few shows that will be airing rerun as we travel.
Uh-huh.
But on the 21st of July, our show will be our Ask a Witch segment. So we encourage you to go to our website, which is witchpriestesscauldron.com.
Ooh.
And fill out our little questionnaire or whatever on what you would like us to discuss. If you have a specific question, a
mm-hmm.
thought, a pagan concept, or if you'd like a free reading for us
mm-hmm.
to do on the show, put that in your email question on our website.
Yep.
And on that July episode, we will address all the questions, well, as many as the questions as we can in
yeah.
the time that we have.
And then, obviously, we will be celebrating our 1 year in August.
That's right.
Yes,
yeah.
I know.
Maybe we'll do a special retrospective episode.
Ooh.
That could be fun.
Okay. How are we going to do that? We'll have to figure that one out.
All the shit we talked about already in 1 hour.
Now, that is going to be awesome. We'll condense.
Yeah.
2 sentences for everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
All right.
It's also Father's Day.
Oh, that's true.
I feel a little guilty that we left that to the very last moment. But summer solstice and Father's Day do fall together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Often the sun is connected to that more masculine
right.
father energy.
Right.
So don't forget your pops.
Your pops. Here or not, they are still part of our energy in our lives.
Ancestral lineages.
And so
have a beautiful summer solstice.
Have a beautiful, wonderful summer solstice.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific and will be available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website, and that's at www.witchpriestesscauldron.com. Again, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, Alan, and myself, Gwion Raven, a big merry meet and merry part and merry meet again. Blessed be.
If you have an appetite for fun, then the Disney California Adventure Food and Wine Festival is the place to be. March 2nd through April 12th, only at the Disneyland Resort. Enjoy deliciously fresh food, California wines, craft beers, specialty cocktails, live music, and more. All served up with a dash of Disney magic. Get more details at disneyland.com/foodandwine.